Well, God bless you, Steve and Deborah. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you for this honor of sharing with you this morning. And God has truly given me a message, and I thank God for it. So before we start, let's pray. Let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Amen, Father. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, God, that you are You're the Almighty God, and Father, we thank you that you're the Almighty God who created us and formed us from our mother's womb, and you're the Almighty God who brings together marriages and homes and generations of godly seed, Lord, that can last for many generations. And Father, we do pray your grace and blessing upon this service this morning. Anoint it with your presence and anoint it especially to the heart of Steve and Deborah, but everyone present here, Father. We pray that we could gain from your word and from your ways, Lord. We know that, Father, that our own marriages at times, Lord, we need a fresh, just that fresh input from your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that upon this time this morning, oh God, that you would bless this service to all of our marriages and to all of our homes. But especially for Steve and Deborah, we pray that as they begin a new home, that a strong foundation could be laid, Lord, that will last their lifetime and even the generations following. Thank you, Father. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, welcome to all of you. It's a joy to be here this morning and see all your friends, your family, Steve and Deborah. And there's many that are here because they love you and support you in your new endeavor and in your new life that you will be living out as a married couple, as two made into one. Praise God. Okay, well, I was praying about a message this morning, and the Lord laid on my heart to preach a message on a fruitful marriage. A fruitful marriage. My wife and I were once missionaries in Africa, and over there they have these mango trees. And the mango tree is a tree that produces luscious fruit in its season. And it comes in, the mango tree, the fruit becomes ripe in the height of the dry season. Over in Africa there in Ghana, where we worked as missionaries, they have a dry and a rainy season. They don't have the winter and summer, spring and fall like we do here, but they have what they call a rainy season, which lasts for 6 months. And then the dry season is equally about 6 months long. And at the height of the dry season, which is in March, just before the rainy season comes in, these mango trees produce fruit. And it's a wonderful thing that God has provided for these for the African nations, you know, and in the height of the dry season, when sometimes they're getting low in food supply, these mangoes come in, and usually the market there is just flooded with them. I mean, they bring them into the local market, and they're just flooded with these mangoes. And but anyway, this mango tree. A few interesting things about the mango is, you know, the Bible says about the leaf not withering in our lives. Even though the fruit is being produced in its season, there's not always fruitfulness in any given fruit tree. But the mango tree, and every tree for that matter, but especially the mango tree, has great usefulness in the season that it's not producing fruit. And that is, it's a wonderful shade tree that the Africans often use for church services, for various events. Its branches spread out wide, and the tree is full of leaves, and so it has that use as well. And I thought about your marriage, you know, about your marriage producing fruit, but also being of usefulness continuously. Your marriage would be of usefulness continuously. In fact, the mango tree has, they say if you would only eat mangoes, you would have enough of nutrients in your, there's enough of nutrients in the mango tree that you could live a healthy life. In other words, it would be enough of health for your body if that's all you would eat. So the mango has great value. This mango tree there in Ghana. So this morning, Steve and Deborah, I'd like to share with you a marriage of fruitfulness. My heart's desire is that your marriage would be exceeding fruitful, that your marriage would produce luscious fruit that can be taken in your own lives and that of your home. If God grants you offspring and children, that your marriage would be such that it would be a tremendously fruitful marriage to your own home and family, and that to your own community, your own church, your own, and to the world around you. So I'd like to preach on three essentials. I think there's many other essentials to a fruitful marriage, but I'd like to share with you this morning three essentials. These are essentials to a fruitful marriage. They're very essential to you having a fruitful marriage all of your days. And that's what I'd like to share on is these three essentials. Let's turn our Bibles to John, if you have a Bible this morning. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. I'll just read those two verses. Abide in me, and you know these verses, Steve, I know you do. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So unless there's an abiding in Christ, there will be no fruit. But I know both of you have been born of the Spirit of God, and I trust through abiding in Christ, through abiding in the vine, your home and your marriage will be of great fruitfulness. But anyway, it says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So this morning, my dear brother and sister and all of us, our marriages, they must have Christ as a central focus and central theme of our homes and our marriages. And as you think of the days ahead in your life, as you think of your new marriage today, in an hour or so here, remember that Christ is the central, should be the central focus of what is taking place here today. And I just want to recommend, I just want to share that with you. Keep your relationship, stay close to Christ in your new home and marriage. There will be the necessity to stay close to Christ, brother and sister. Close to Him, letting Christ be that central direction or central focus that you have upon your hearts, and especially for you, Steve, as the head of your home, which I'll get into a little bit later here. But did you lead out in this relationship with Christ, showing your wife, your new wife, what it means to have and build a strong foundation in Christ for your new home? So keep your relationship with Christ strong and vibrant. A branch bears fruit. It doesn't push forth fruit or produce fruit necessarily. It bears fruit. It's a product of that which is happening within the heart of that tree. It's a product of the sap that is coming out of the stem or out of the trunk that flows into the branch, and thus the tree bears forth fruit. And that is what is so essential in your lives, that you have a strong foundation in Jesus Christ, that a strong relationship with your Lord and Savior, that you are building upon the rock Christ Jesus and nothing else. This world has a lot to offer marriages in the sense of, frivolity and just the glamour of life and pleasures that the world affords for newly wedded couples. But I want your foundation to be upon the rock Christ Jesus, upon that solid rock, that when the storms of life come, and listen, brother, sister, they will come, when the storms of life come, that foundation will withstand. Because your foundation has been built upon a rock. When the storms of life beat upon that house, it is able to withstand those tempests and waves and storms that beat upon all marriages and homes. Keep your relationship with Christ healthy and strong, and you will have a fruitful, healthy marriage. Healthy. You know, the mango tree is full of health and vitality for everyone that partakes of it. And your children, if you have offspring, will need that kind of fruit flowing forth from your hearts and lives. Healthy fruit. They have a healthy, vibrant home to grow up in where the Spirit of Christ is present and where the sense of the presence of the Lord is in your home and marriage. Steve, I'd like to talk to you a bit. You know, spend time alone with God. Don't neglect that essential part of your marriage. You know, Jesus, many times when he was involved in ministry, he saw the need. I mean, many times it mentions it in the Gospels. He saw the need of getting away from it all and spending time with his Heavenly Father to receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God, fresh direction for his ministry and the purpose that God had called him to. And you now have a purpose today to lead, first of all, your wife, but maybe later on, if God wills, children that I know your heart's desire is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lay that foundation now for your new home. You are the head, Steve, of a new home. Today, there's a new headship form, a complete new headship. You are the authority and the leader of your new home. And establish that foundation in Christ Jesus, strong upon the rock. Spend time alone with Christ. Spend time in His Word, getting to know Him, getting to know Him deeper. I know you know Him already, brother, but just getting to know Him more deeply, knowing and having a vision for your home, for the future of your wife and your family. Without a vision, the people perish. And your children need that vision. If God permits children to come into your home, your children need a vision that is not of this world, but a vision for godliness and a vision that will carry them into a life that is also given over to the purpose of God, which I know is your heart and desire. But begin now in your new home. Spend time with God. Get to know Him more deeply. Get to know His ways. Get to know His precepts, His principles, the Word of God, that you can rightly divide it for yourself, but also for your wife. Later on, like I said, as you exercise yourself now in discerning the will of God, in discerning how to lead your new home with perhaps just your wife for a year or two, you will be prepared to further minister to those who God may bring into your home in addition. Like I said, you are the head of your home. You will need direction, vision, inspiration. Keep your relationship with your Heavenly Father vibrant and up to date. If I can say that, Steve, keep your relationship up to date. You know, I have found many times a relationship with God is, how should I say, in my relationship with my Heavenly Father, you know, I cherish that. I struggle sometimes. I'm human, and I struggle sometimes. Sometimes I get discouraged in life. But, many times in the morning hours, in the early morning hours, if I'm discouraged the day before, you know, maybe I've gotten courage to go on again, but I need some answers. Why, Lord, did this happen in my life? Why did I fall into discouragement? Or why did I miss your will? Or why did I miss it with a ministry opportunity you gave me? It seemed like it was just a flop. And, you know, the next morning I get up. And I'm so grateful for my relationship with God. This I say with almost sacredness. I cherish it. Because in the early morning hours, I get up. That's where God meets with me. And I'm encouraged again. I'm encouraged. My heart is encouraged. And I'm able to find my way through that discouragement. I'm able to find my way through that seeming failure. And I'm able to, again, keep on course, even though maybe I took a rabbit trail off course a little. But I'm able to get back on course and move on. And brother, your relationship with God is so essential in your new home. That you have that deep relationship. Because the storms of life will beat. Satan, from the time that you're married today, will be after your marriage. First of all, to divide you. But the ultimate plan he has in mind is to destroy your home and offspring. And it's so essential that you have that relationship with God. A deep, abiding relationship that will carry you through the storms of life, that will give you direction when you're discouraged or when you're failed, when you feel like you've failed, or when you need direction, you've kind of lost your way. That deep, abiding relationship with God is where, brother, you will find your way in charting the course of direction and vision, purpose that God has for your home. Praise the Lord. And Deborah, to you, God has called you to be an helpmeet for your husband. You will also need to stay connected to your heavenly bridegroom. Stay connected to him, sister. He's called you to be a helpmeet. Powerful call. I just think of, you know, where I would be without my wife. The word helpmeet means to surround. To surround, to protect or aid. To help, to succor or comfort. But to surround, I'd like to elaborate just a little bit on that word. You know, surround means to, in essence, protect. You're a surrounding hedge to your husband. You know, I think of the many times I've gone to my wife for counsel. And it's no wonder the Bible says that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife for counsel and for advice. I have found her a tremendous support in my life, a tremendous asset. As I tune into her counsel and advice, and sometimes I haven't always done that, and often I smart for it, but I have learned. I recommend that to you, Steve. Tune into your wife. Tune into her. If she's tuned into the heavenly bridegroom, she has the voice of God for you in many situations where you're kind of confused or don't know which way maybe to turn or what decision to make. She has wonderful counsel for you. But to you, Deborah, stay tuned into your heavenly bridegroom. Stay tuned into his voice, into his sensings, into those inner promptings. A woman has a tremendous place in the home. There are sensings that a wife has, a woman has, that a man does not. I'll just be honest with us all. I mean, there are sensings at times that that she has that I just look at and say, I can't conceive that. I just don't see it that way. But often she's very right in what she's sensing. And I just want to say to you, you have a tremendous role in the home. As you stay close, sister, to your heavenly bridegroom, to Jesus Christ, keep that connection vital. Keep it strong. Keep it at a place where the flow of Christ is in your life because of the tremendous love you have for him, the tremendous connectedness to your heavenly bridegroom, Christ Jesus. God has a high calling for you, sister. Sometimes we look at women, maybe the world looks at women as, well, let me say it this way, the world has a lot to say on the area of, you know, women's rights and equality, and I don't want to minimize a woman's place and role. But I, you know, this whole thing of women's rights, it just, to me, it's just so twisted and perverted from what God has in a beautiful Christian home and marriage. You have a tremendous spiritual role, even though it's that of submission, which I'll get into later. But keep close to Christ Jesus, the rock of your salvation, the vine where the sap flows from. Keep close to Him, sister, and you will be mightily used to support, comfort, and aid your new husband and your new home. You know, Jesus, in Ecclesiastes, it brings out about a threefold cord. A threefold cord is not quickly broken, and I believe we could apply that to our marriages. One strand being the husband, the other strand being the wife, and the other strand being Christ Jesus. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Please let your home, please make your home, Brother Steve, a place where you have a family altar. Exercise yourself now, Steve, in leading out in your new home, having a family altar, having a place where you and your wife pour out your hearts before the Lord, where you pray together, you're in the Word of God together, you're knitting, there's a knittedness in your hearts as a couple. Through Christ Jesus, through your closeness to Him, your closeness to each other, there's just a tremendous union. But take time to have that family altar. And I guarantee you, as children come into your home, it'll flow more naturally than when you begin then. If for some reason you're thinking, you know, family altar, I don't know. Spending time in prayer together. If you feel like that's not really appealing, I guarantee you it will be hard when you have offspring coming to get that thing flowing at that time, which is so essential in any home with children. So get started now. Have a place where you have a family altar together. Washing your wife with the water of the Word, leading out in the Word of God, and simply spending time in prayer together. You know, one of the things I have noted the past year, my wife and I, a few times, we agreed together. And we were at a place about two times last year especially, that we were at a place of utter, we didn't have answers, and we needed answers. And my wife and I just simply agreed together that, God, you will give us answers. And we even set a date to it. And both times God came through just on time. It's because as we spend time together in prayer and in a spiritual sense with Christ and with our Heavenly Father, that knittedness is already there when you face difficult circumstances and situations. It's just more natural to agree together. And when that knittedness is there, the Bible says your prayers are not hindered. And thus your prayers ascend straight to the throne and have a powerful effect on the issue at hand that is on your hearts and the matter that maybe you need to work through. Okay, the second essential for a fruitful marriage. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. The second essential for a fruitful marriage, Ephesians 5, which we all are familiar with these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, this is to you, Deborah, first of all. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Powerful. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Deborah, Steve is the head of your new home. And I know you know this scripture, and I know you know this, sister, and I know that, you know, you have heard it shared and preached in other weddings and in your own church setting, and I'm grateful for that. That is lifted up. But Yeah, and there's a need to be in submission to his leadership, even as Christ is to the, even as the church is to Christ. That's a powerful statement by Paul to the church here at Ephesus. Even as the church is to Christ, so Paul says, let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I just like to say, Deborah, always make it a cheerful submission. You know, that's the oil. I don't know, cheerfulness to me and joy. When there's a joyful submission, it's the oil that keeps the gears of your marriage running without friction and without creaks and groans and such like things. You know, it keeps the oil is the lubrication for the gears. And so I just want to recommend, be at a place continuously, sister, of cheerful submission. When you're tempted to, you know, when you're tempted to feel like, well, you know, the decision he's making, how can I agree with it? How can I trust him in this decision? Take heart in this verse. Take heart in this, in the scripture here. God's heart is not only for submission, but for cheerful submission, glad submission, trusting submission. There needs to be a following him and yet being his helpmeet. A following him, but yet being his helpmeet. Giving words of encouragement, words of comfort when he's down. Let him feel your full support. Let him feel your full... I mean, a man goes far. I'll tell you, a husband goes far when he feels his wife's full support. Give him words of belief. Tell him how much you believe in him. A man thrives under praise. I trust you. You know that already, but a man thrives under his wife's praise. Many men have been reduced to almost nothing, to where they can't make decisions. They can't lead out in their home because of fear of their wife, for one thing. But also they're just at a place of discouragement with their home, with their leadership role, because their wife, he's always sensing his wife's disapproval. Be at a place of encouragement, even when he makes mistakes, even when he fails. Let him know your belief in him, how much you value and believe in his leadership. Amen. Amen. That'll take a man, your husband, far as you trust his leadership and show your belief in him. You know, even as you look up to him now in great admiration, adoration, and respect, never lose that. Never lose that. You know, as time goes on in our marriages, we tend at times to lose that edge of respect. Even for us as husbands, you know, respect and honor. And for you, Steve, honoring her as a weaker vessel. For you, Deborah, that continuous, the Bible says a wife is to reverence her husband. Let that continuous reverence be there, that deep inner respect and adoration of him. I love seeing couples, you know, sometimes in couples nights back in PA there, you know, there's these couples that give a testimony of their marriage. And I just love when I see the wife just adoringly looking up at her husband. It's just, I don't know, you can sense just a love and an adoration there that has lasted. Sometimes many years. Sometimes these marriages are maybe, you know, 12 to 20 years old. And spice up your marriage as only wives can do. You know, my wife, when we were in Africa, we used to, with those mango trees, the mango fruit, she used to make these mango smoothies. And I can, and she just knew how to spice up her marriage, even on a mission field. And just want to recommend that to you, Deborah. Spice up. Well, women have a way of that no man can do. I mean, I don't understand my wife yet, how she can spice up our marriage the way she does and her creative ways and just all the details that go through her mind. And they're a tremendous blessing to a marriage. And allow the spice of your garden just to flow into your home and marriage, into your garden of marriage and your new home. And I know you have the ability. I'm convinced of that, Deborah. That you have the ability by the Spirit of God as a woman to have that kind of spice in your home and marriage. And Allow those spices to flow. Again, as you stay connected to your heavenly bridegroom, Christ Jesus, those spices will flow in abundance. I've just observed my wife many times. The Spirit of God just brings something to her, and she, you know, her mind just runs with it as she, you know, and it came from the Lord. And so let the spices flow. And one more thing, Deborah, is trust your husband. It says here, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Trust your husband when it comes to decisions that he makes that you don't agree with, perhaps, or you think he's making a mistake in, or maybe he does make a mistake. Maybe he proves that his decision is another utter failure. And maybe you're tempted to take matters into your own hands and say, okay, I have to salvage our home, our marriage, or our home with children. I'm going to have to fill in the gap. No, allow him to be the savior sometimes of his own mistakes. Many a wife comes in at a time when she feels like, well, I have to do something. And so she begins to try to fill the role that she feels he's missing and has made a mistake in or is a failure in. And she steps into his place only to dampen his spirit and leadership ability. Because he doesn't feel trusted in. Give him room to make mistakes. I love that scripture. It says, you know, God covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Not just faults, not just character flaws, sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. But also, the Bible says our gifts, a man's gifts makes room for him. And as he develops in his Christian walk, he will have gifts in your home and marriage. Give those gifts room to grow. Give them room to function, just like God does. A man's gifts makes room for him. God gives us room to develop those things in our hearts and lives. Give him room to grow and develop in the gifts that God has given to him in his leadership role of your home. Steve, your role, Ephesians chapter 5. Again, I'll just read a portion here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Powerful again. A wife is to submit herself to her husband, even as the church is to be submissive unto Christ. But then the husband's role is to love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Gave himself for it. That's a powerful dynamic. You're to be submissive to Christ, Deborah. But Steve, you're to love her as Christ loved the church. And even as at least in my Christian life, Christ has not been a dictator in my life. Often in my Christian walk, the many ups and downs I've had, the many failures and mistakes that I've made, I can honestly say, like the scripture says in Psalms, his gentleness has made me great. Love her. I'm always amazed at Christ. You know, when I think I've failed a tremendous way, perhaps, I feel like I've sinned, you know, and I feel like I've really displeased the Lord. Maybe I get alone with him the next day or maybe the same day, whatever. I'm always amazed at his gentleness with me. In his comforting voice to my spirit, son, I forgive you. It's all right. He doesn't even make it big. I mean, to me, it's a big thing. And it's just like, let's go on, son. And I want to say that to you, Steve, as you consider your wife. Love her. Be gentle to her. Your gentleness will make her great. You know, love is long-suffering. Love suffers long. Sometimes wives are
Almost emotional basket cases. Just a woman's tendency, you know, to be a bit more on the emotional side sometimes, perhaps. But I'm telling you, the gentleness that you exhibit from your spirit will make her great. If she has faults and flaws in her life, the way to bring her along is not through correction, but rather just pouring your love upon her heart and spirit. Loving her for who she is. Loving her for her character. I mean, how should I say? Loving her right in her struggles and emotional behavior, or emotional can appear like almost instability, you know. And I've discovered, and I'm still working on this in my life. I'm not there yet totally. But I'm still working on this, to be gentle and kind. And maybe she has a besetting sin that she's even working through. Maybe there's an area of besetting sin that she's working through that she just fails time after time. And your tendency is to say, come on, let's move on. Let's get out of this once. I've discovered gentleness goes far, much further. And you know, that's not the way Christ dealt with me. And I discover that when I am that to my wife, it brings her along, just like Christ has brought me along. And so I just want to recommend to you the spirit of love emanating from your life, loving her as Christ loved the church, and giving yourself for her. Giving yourself for her. She will feel both nourished and cherished. I mean, here it says, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, which this is your flesh now, Steve, today. After you become one, a few minutes from now, you are one flesh. This is your flesh. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Today you will be members one of another as well. Cherish her. Nourish her, brother. Love her. Give your life for her. And you will have a wife, like it says here, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Or let me rephrase it. Glorious wife, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And I trust that's your heart, Steve, to all of your days have a wife with a healthy, vibrant, shining countenance. And it has a lot to do with you. It's a lot to do with you. Just like Christ, his gentleness has caused my face to continue to, I trust, be shining forth for his glory. You have a lot to do with your new wife, and whether she will shine forth or whether she will feel repressed. It has a lot to do with us men and the way we love them. And agape love. Agape love is a committed love. It does things for her when it doesn't feel like it. You know, you may come home from work, Steve, and feel like, you know, I'm going down years down the road, brother. You know, your home is full of children now, and you come home from work. And I want this foundation today to be laid not only for next week, but for many generations. Especially for your home, for the home that you may have children in, that you have a strong foundation and are prepared. You're prepared with those children and that new home that God has given to you. But anyway, I wanted to mention about agape love. You may come home at times, you know, at the end of a long, hard day at work, and here you see she has not gotten the dishes washed, and the house is untidy. The house is not nice and neat. It seems untidy, and you think to yourself, well, come on, what were you doing all day? You know, and And you've worked hard, and you think it's my right to be able to sit down on the recliner and get the newspaper or get a magazine, and you think to yourself, you know, my right is to be at a place of, you know, I need to relax and be able to rest from my hard day's work. But here your wife is feeling overwhelmed, and you just kind of sit over there in the chair and take it easy. Meanwhile, you look over at your wife, and you see her countenance. Her face is long, her countenance is drawn, and you know in your heart she's had a long, hard day. And maybe even sometimes the tendency is to begin to point fingers at her and say, why? Why did you not perform your duties for the day? Why is the house the way it is? But even if you don't do anything, the best thing can be done. I mean, the most hurtful thing is to say words, but the next thing is, the best thing that can be done, I have discovered 15 minutes of help takes her miles down the road. All of a sudden, she sees light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, she sees light to what looks like an overwhelming situation. I can usually tell when my wife is kind of drawn, you know, she has this look, I can almost tell she's looking up at a mountain. She just has that look. But all of a sudden, as I give her a lift, her countenance begins to lift, and I see it happening right in front of my very eyes. And it's such a joy and blessing when I see that. And again, I'm not always faithful. I make my mistakes, but I just want to say agape love is that. It's committed. It's commitment to your wife. It's committed. You're committed to her beyond your feelings. Your feelings in your flesh might want to do otherwise than give your wife a lift, helping her vacuum or helping her clean up the house or wash the dishes. But that's agape love. That's what it means. And it'll take her miles down the road just by giving her that simple lift. Brother, I want to recommend that. Love her. Give yourself to her. The Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What did he give himself for her? That he might wash her, cleanse her, that he might continuously have a shining bride, a shining church. That's why he gives himself, that she might continually shine forth without spot and blemish or any such thing. That's why. So if you want a wife that has a healthy countenance and a shining countenance at all times, give yourself for her. Give yourself for her. Do you want? Let me go on here. Give her lots of love. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Give yourself in words of kindness to her after she's had a long, hard day. Maybe a little edgy. You know, sometimes our wives are a little irritated. At least, you know, when they're overwhelmed, they tend to get a little irritated. And our fleshly tendency, at least mine, is to get irritated back. But I have discovered, If I just shower her with words of love and comfort and understanding in those times, it's amazing what that does. So love suffers long. Love is kind. It's kind in circumstances that are even difficult. Love seeks not her own. Give yourself for her. Give yourself to her not for what you get, but for what you can give. Brother, love seeks not her own. Give yourself to her, not for what you can get, but for what you can give. Love is not easily provoked. Again, the word gentleness I could bring in her. Your gentleness has the ability to make her great. Women are delicate and to be handled with care. If they're nourished and cherished, even as Christ does with his church, they will blossom. And again, Steve, as the head of your new home, the Bible says here at the latter part of this chapter, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. In another scripture somewhere, I think it's in Genesis, it says a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Cleave to your wife again, Steve, for counsel, for advice. I'm not saying you can't go to your parents at times, but Cleave to her. Let her know how much you value her input and counsel. Go to her. Cleave to her. Leave your father and mother in that sense and cleave to your wife. Make her feel like she has a very important role in your home. You're up against a decision, up against hard things. Seek out her advice. Often there's a well of living water down in there that just needs to be drawn out. Just needs to be drawn out. Okay, if I can find my way here. Okay, let's go on. One last essential for a fruitful marriage is this. And you might not... This is one, Steve and Deborah, that and maybe for us all, that you wonder, why do I bring in this one this morning? Why do I bring in this element to a fruitful marriage? It's because part of the reason is because through years of counseling that my wife and I have done, we have seen the destruction of homes that have not had this essential within it. They have not had this important principle woven within their home and marriage. So I want to preface that with that. We have done, many of you know that my wife and I do a lot of counseling. And so I have seen the destruction of entire families who've not had this principle deeply integrated into their lives. That is this. Stay very connected as a married couple to the body of Christ. I've seen homes, I've seen individuals, I've seen fathers who go out, they become an independent man and feel like they have it all together and they're, in essence, they're not accountable to anyone. And the devastation of some of those homes is beyond imagination. So I want to say, stay connected to the body of Christ in your new home and marriage. Very essential. Want to encourage you as a new couple, determine right from the get-go, determine right from the onset that the body of believers that we're a part of, and I've been chosen to be a, and we have chosen to be a part of, we will be a couple that's plugged in. We will be plugged in. And I'm telling you, it's so important in these last days. We are entering the last of the last days, I believe, in this country. And it's no wonder that the Bible says that to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you can only exhort your brother and sister, and your brother and sister be able to exhort you as you're an integral part of a body of believers. And so I want to say this and recommend this to you. The body of believers that you've chosen to be a part of, give yourself to being a part of it, to being plugged in, connected, right from the onset. Give yourself to contributing to the body that God has called you to and placed you in. You know, you might say today, what does that have to do with marriage? I want a strong foundation to be laid for your home that will last a lifetime, brother and sister. I've seen enough of destruction in other homes. And I'm just saying this is a vital and essential part of your new home and marriage. Very vital. I've seen children who have an independent father, whose father and mother are not plugged into to a body of believers. They not only lose their children to the world, but many times they leave the home. Their children might feel like you have your children around you till they become teenagers and older youth. And all of a sudden, and I don't know all the dynamics all the time, what happens, but I know many homes like that, quite a few, whose children have left home and are no longer with that father who couldn't get along with any body of believers anywhere. So much damage done by parents who have an independent mindset. Be a couple that right from the start determines we're going to be a blessing in the congregation God has called us to. You know, churches sometimes go through difficult things, sometimes very difficult things. And the temptation is, when going through difficult things, I remember when I was a young person, you know, when church went through difficult things, I'd say, well, you know, I just back up a little bit and feel like, you know, well, okay, who's at fault here? And the temptation is to back off and get on the, you know, kind of be at the perimeters of the, on the outskirts of the church, you know, to where you're outside looking in. God would have you as a couple. My dear brother and sister, God would have you as a couple. Stay plugged in, stay connected, even in difficult times. All churches, for the most part, go through difficult trials. I'll tell you, I'm a pastor, Steve. And it means so much when young couples like you, you know, us pastors, we love young couples. We see them the future. We see them as the future of the church, the future of generations to come. It's such a blessing when they're plugged in, they're connected. They're part of pulling the load. Sometimes there's tremendous loads that pastors have to carry and pull. And sometimes, yeah. And it's, like I said, it's such a blessing when young couples are plugged in, young people for that matter, are plugged in. You feel like they're pulling the load with us. But the opposite is also sometimes troubling when there's, you know, suspicion, mistrust, and questions, and they're just kind of on the perimeters, on the outside. It feels like they're out in the outside looking in. It just doesn't have the same feel and the same blessing. Purpose that. I know you're going on a honeymoon. Discuss these things. Purpose that. Make a purpose that we are going to be that kind of home, that kind, have that kind of marriage. I guarantee you, you will never regret it. For your own home and family and offspring, you will never regret it. That kind of purpose in your home and marriage. Just on that point yet, before I close, I hope you're one of those teams like Priscilla and Aquila were. You know, Paul, with Priscilla and Aquila, I see them as such a married team, he hardly knew whose name to pronounce first. It's almost equal that sometimes he says Aquila's name first, other times he says Priscilla, when he refers to Aquila and Priscilla. He says, let me just turn to a few of those scriptures and I'll show you, and I would like to show you their great usefulness in Paul's ministry and Paul's ministry as he was planting churches and sharing the gospel. Acts chapter 18, first of all, they were I see them as a real team, even in their own home and marriage. It says here that they were, because he was of the same craft, this is talking about Priscilla and Aquila, Aquila and Priscilla, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. It appears to me like Priscilla helped Aquila with his occupation. It says they were tent makers. But I think they worked together as a team. And again, that has tremendous value, not just for your own home, but as you look at ministry even, the ministry and purpose that God has for your lives as a couple and as a family perhaps. But anyway, in Aquila and Priscilla, it says of them that Paul, and this is verse 18 of the same chapter, and Paul after this tarried there yet a great while and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla, now he pronounces Priscilla's name first, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Why did Priscilla and Aquila get left in Ephesus? They were left there to disciple the new believers. They were used by God, by Paul, by the Apostle Paul, but by the Lord to help in ministry of new believers the ministry of new believers, discipling them. They were engaged in ministry, in the ministry of God's kingdom, in Christ's purposes. And I want to just say that to you, my brother and sister. Engage yourselves in the purposes of God. Don't fritter your life away with just endless, how should I say, with aimless goals and things that have no eternal value. Aquila and Priscilla, I don't know if they were a young married couple. I don't know. But they engaged, they, appears to me they didn't have children, almost. Never are their children mentioned, whether it was that they were newly married or whether it was that they just didn't have children. I'm not sure. But they engaged themselves. They gave themselves to ministry, to being a blessing as a married couple. Another scripture about them says in Romans 16:3. I just love this. He intertwines Aquila and Priscilla's names. Here he says again, he brings Priscilla. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." There he again, he mentioned Priscilla's name first. They were such a team, I believe. He hardly knew. He just interspersed their names in making mention of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, says, verse 19. "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Apparently, it came to a time when an actual little church was formed in their house. They were used of God as a couple to that degree. And in 2 Timothy, which I'll not go there, but it says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." There he mentions Priscilla's name again. They were just simply a team that Paul didn't know how to separate. He didn't know how to separate them, so he just used their name, you know, sometimes Priscilla first and other times Aquila. That's how I see. That's what I see Paul saying there. Okay, let me say this yet. My heart is that your marriage will be a blessed asset to the Church of Jesus Christ in this dark day that we're living in. We are living in a world that is fast sliding down into anarchy or into the Antichrist spirit. Brother, sister, you know as well as I do, things have taken place in these last 10, 20 years that we would not have thought of 10 years ago. Things are taking place. We are in the end times. Be used as an asset to the Church of Jesus Christ and to his body. May your marriage be such that it is used to advance and extend God's kingdom. It will only come back to bless your new home and marriage. Guarantee you. Let your lives be used for that purpose. Okay, in closing, let's turn to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. Just want to give you a few closing thoughts here yet, and then I'll be finished. Genesis chapter 49. Here it mentions about Joseph. We all know Jacob's 12 children, and one of them was Joseph. And Joseph was a, here it mentions about Joseph, it says, "Joseph is a fruitful bow." And that's my heart for your home and marriage, that you may be a fruitful bow, so much so it says, "even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty hands of the God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." So, brother, sister, may your marriage have such fruitfulness that your bow, the bow of your marriage, climbs over the wall out into the world. And the world is able to pluck from that bow and eat of the fruit thereof. And taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. That your bow might be such that it is, even the world is eating thereof and partaking of it. That's my heart, brother, sister, Steve. Drink deeply of that well of living water. Feed upon God's word. Feed upon his faithfulness. Let the branches of your marriage go down over that wall. May you be used for the eternal purposes of God. The archers may shoot and they're going to shoot. Brother, sister, be prepared. The archers are going to shoot right at that divide, trying to break up your marriage, trying to bring friction. Maybe it's not a physical breakup, but the archers will shoot to try to bring division, to try to bring strife into your home, to try to bring your home to a place that the children, as they grow up, are not growing up in a healthy environment. That's Satan's tactic. That's his desire. They're going to shoot. But Steve, I trust that you will have this testimony. Like John said to his children in 1 John, he said, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and ye have overcome the wicked one. Then he says again, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. The word of God abiding in you, brother. And the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. I trust that will be the testimony of your marriage, overcoming the wicked one, because those archers will shoot. May the testimony of your home and marriage at the end of your days be that Steve and Deborah's home has abode in strength. The arms of Steve's hands were made strong by his mighty God, by the mighty God that they knew, that was ever present in their home and marriage. May your days, which they'll come to an end someday. Someday, it'll be all over. What will your home, what will your marriage look like, and what will your home look like? I trust that your heart is to leave behind a legend of faithfulness and fruitfulness to the Lord and our God. And yea, something that your children, your grandchildren and great-grandchildren can follow. You may have great-grandchildren, something that they can follow, something they can look up to and say, I want to be like my grandpa Steve. I want to be like my great-grandpa. He loves the Lord. And they get even a vision for godliness for their lives. Brother, sister, through God, all things are possible. And it's even possible for your bow to reach out into the world and for the fruit of your life to produce much fruit unto everlasting life in this dark world that we live in. The world needs you. God will use you in this dark world as your lives are committed to faithfulness to Him, to a life of fruitfulness, to a life that stays connected to the vine. Remember Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. The same shall bring forth not just little fruit, but much fruit to the glory of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thanks, Steve, for the privilege, Deborah, of sharing with you this morning. God bless your new home and marriage.